This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The red carpet is rolled out for you, whether you are here in the good old USA or you're listening to us down under or perhaps in the UK or someplace else. We're all connected, right? Thanks to this pandemic. And, oh, yeah, the Olympics, if you're watching the Olympics. I don't know what the overall viewership is like, but it seems like it's on the rise. The more popular sports are unfolding, and after we get out of the pool, we're on the track, and then we have some new sports that people are interested in. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, is very happy that he was vaccinated because he, over the weekend, had flu-like symptoms. His sinuses were bugging him. He went to the doctors on Monday and found out that he had COVID. He said without vaccination, he was pretty certain he wouldn't feel as well as he does now. He's 66 years old. He said he was informed by the House physician that he absolutely was positive after being vaccinated. So he tweeted that out right away. He's going to quarantine for 10 days. And the key thing is he must have said he was glad that he was vaccinated 10 times throughout the day. So it's interesting because this comes at kind of a precarious point when we're talking about the Senate and passing a bipartisan infrastructure bill with a very narrow margin days before the August recess will start. Of course, the Senate leadership can cancel or delay when recess begins or when it, you know, when that whole thing happens, they can push it. Senator Chuck Schumer is suggesting that, and he does say, Schumer, that the positive diagnosis for Graham shouldn't affect the plans to push through the deal and take up a budget resolution, which is the first step before you can pass an economic package. I have a feeling that if it's the nuts and bolts, it goes. West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, who's right in the middle of this whole thing from the very beginning, had a small group of senators on his houseboat over the weekend. That made big news. And Graham was in attendance. So, yikes. Are more people going to be testing positive on that houseboat for this Delta variant or, you know, COVID-19? Manchin was quick to say that he's fully vaccinated and following the CDC guidelines for those exposed to a COVID-positive individual. So he has tested negative for COVID-19, negative, negative, negative. But we'll see what else happens with other people that were, you know, actually out there on the water. You know, it's weird because breakthrough infections are still pretty rare. More than 99.99% of people fully vaccinated against COVID-19 have not had breakthrough cases. They haven't had that with the hospitalization or death anyway, but people are getting it. So this goes to the Delta variant. It also goes to safety guidelines. It also goes to the argument over masks and what's being required. The U.S. House reinstated its mask mandate last week. The attending doc for Congress has advised Senate leaders that they're recommended to wear masks in indoor spaces when other people are present. So last week, even Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was asked, would he wear a mask with the new CDC guidelines? And he didn't respond. He just kept walking. So the mask debate is far from over. I mean, when we first jumped into the pandemic, sadly, that was one of the things we talked about, to mask or not mask. And how did this become so super, super charged and politicized and everything else in between that we could possibly throw into this, mix. So the CDC, as I went and looked again at the guidelines, they are saying it's up to the individual, but they strongly suggest that fully vaccinated people wear a mask in public indoor settings in areas of substantial or high transmission. So that would apply to Louisiana. So people listening to us in Louisiana, how do you feel about that? The cases have exploded there. And the governor has clamped down and said, okay, in bars, etc., mass, because ICU beds are filling up, which means nobody can get a bed. If something else happens to them, they can't get hospitalization, or they go to an emergency room and they're sitting in the hallway. Seriously, in some areas of the country, that's what's happening. What's interesting is now we have at least 70% of the country has one shot. So not two, but at least 70% of the country has one shot. So what does that mean? Well, that was the number that was pushed by the president for July 4th, and of course that didn't happen, but now the number is there. So does it mean we'll get closer to herd immunity? Does it mean that we see this, COVID peak again and then it'll subside, or are we going to have September, October, November of this? And is it going to be all about 2022? I can tell you that there are a lot of events that are being pushed into the beginning of 2022. As sometimes I take the show on the road and I speak and then do the show, I had a couple of those events that are in 2022 because they didn't want to take a chance that something like this variant would hold them up. Or, you look at Florida, which is a big place for conventions, second biggest in the country next to Las Vegas, and they've got hospital staffing shortages in Florida, and their beds are filling up, and the ICUs are overwhelmed with a lot of younger and sicker people, and most of those people, according to hospital figures in these various areas, are the unvaccinated people. And you have schools now that are trying to consider what they should do, because this is the time of year when you're either getting ready to go back to school in the next couple of weeks, or you're going back after Labor Day. So what does it all look like? We're having the same conversations, although a little bit different because of the vaccine. But this has jolted us back into a place where I think a lot of us just don't want to be. So Americans' optimism about COVID-19 lately has been dashed. Gallup just did a poll, and there's been a dramatic shift that most of us now say the coronavirus situation in the U.S. is getting worse, 45% rather than the 40% we had in June. A record 89% said the situation was getting better, only 3% said it was getting worse, and now the expectation is if this persists, that the optimism so many were feeling has also plummeted instead of soaring like it was. Wow. All right, so on that note, we're going to turn the page. Turn it with me, and I'll meet you in a few.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay Bay 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Manuel Romero joins us, and he's written a book called Me America, The Evolution of an American Family. Thank you so much for coming on, and the title really nails, I think, what your book's about. So tell us what led you to writing this book in the first place. Why'd you write it?
Well, this idea has been percolating in my mind for quite a few years. However, about 6 years ago, a friend I studied with in Mexico City asked me to write a 20-page paper about my experiences while studying in Mexico City at the University of Mexico. And so he asked me to keep it 20 pages. He was going to submit it to a magazine out of San Antonio, Texas, called Bilingual Review. Well, when I was done, I submitted 40 pages, and obviously I had to cut it down. But then he called me, and he told me, you know, you have the makings of a book here because you not only tell about your experiences in Mexico, but how you got there and the history behind that. So that really got me thinking that I did have something there. And then again, as I began to research and I got more interested, a little bit angry because a lot of this information had not been written about prior to that. But, you know, so I ended up writing the book after I had written the 40-page paper.
So what did you find out, Manuel, that just blew you away, that just you were just had no idea?
Well, there were several things, but probably that's the one that was the most interesting to me was to come to find out that on my mother's side that she has the bloodline of an Aztec princess. That was totally surprised to me and my whole family. So this Maria Catalina is my mother's grandmother removed.
Wow. That had to be exciting for the family.
It was. It's again, it was something we had never thought about, not given much, never thinking that this we had that bloodline, right? And so it was quite exciting to the family. The more they read about it, I mean, obviously they become more curious and want to find out even more, which is great.
understand. And in this book, you know, as you're exploring your history and you're exploring, you know, a Mexican American family, you uncover so many different layers of things that just are unknown, of culture, of understanding culture. And when we look at that, and especially northern New Mexican history, and I worked in New Mexico, and I spent some time in beautiful northern New Mexico, but I have to admit there were things that I learned along the way that I had no idea about. What makes northern New Mexico so magical? And tell us a little bit about the history.
Well, you know, it's a very spiritual place, and so our family, well, on the male side, came from Spain, married this Aztec princess, and then moved up to New Mexico in 1599 to reinforce the Oñate expedition at the time, and then they remained, and our family just took off from there. And as the history evolved, what happened is this was part of the Spain's northern frontier, and it was the Spanish king was very reluctant to continue supporting that because it just wasn't bearing any fruit. It wasn't going to be like Mexico City where they found all this gold and what have you. But they had converts, and so in time, it became really a Franciscan mission, and they convinced the king to continue to support that. But out of that came also the isolation, because Mexico City, where it was governed, was so far away. What ends up happening is that the people of northern New Mexico, the settlers, mix with the Pueblo Indians, and what ends up happening is you get the evolution of a unique culture. Even a unique Spanish evolves from that area. And again, because of its isolation, it was able to flourish for the longest time. Until really it became part of the United States in 1848. So we have this spiritual connection with the land. Obviously the land was very important, because to coax the Spanish settlers to come up, either from Spain or from Mexico, they were promised land, and many came and many did well with that land. Obviously there was a lot of atrocities as well. I can't leave that out, but it developed into its own culture, and it still pretty much exists today. If when you go to northern New Mexico, you'll find the language is still unique. Even the children continue to speak Spanish, which I think is very neat. So, and continue to perpetuate the culture that will evolve from there.
Yeah, I saw that. It's interesting. I saw that in Española, and I saw it in some other places. And when you talk about the language and coming from Spain and from Mexico City, there are little nuances with Spanish, right? Because it's not all the same across the board. Some of the words are different.
Correct. And you'll find this, obviously, if you go to Colombia, if you go to Puerto Rico, if you go to other places, you'll find that there are different dialects. But what happens in the United States is that it not only evolved, but then as the Angles began to settle in New Mexico, we began to get a mix of English with that Spanish language. So it became this, not necessarily Spanglish, but a lot of it were English words that were turned into Spanish.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a few of those. You and I could talk about that. I have like a little dictionary where I wrote them down when I was in Spain, and I thought I had the right not pronunciation, but the right word, and then the word was different. So it's always been fascinating to me. What do you hope people take away from reading Mi America, The Evolution of an American Family?
Well, you know, first of all, and let me say that people can go to MeAmerica2020.com to get more information, order their books, what have you. So that's MeAmerica2020.com. But I think what people are going to find is this, what's beginning to surface now is these stories that have not been told, much like Juneteenth or the Tulsa Massacre. In my book, they'll find kind of these new revelations, this uncovered history that just has not been written about. So I think people will be very interested in it, and find out just how much history has been left out of our history books that they should have really taught us in school, but that didn't happen. But you have the Northern Expeditions. So we had our Davy Crockett's and Daniel Boone's and what have you, Lewis and Clark's, who came north to settle for the Spanish kingdom. And so people will begin to see this history evolve in the Southwest that becomes its own history. And again, people will see so much information that has been uncovered that just was not there or has not been taught to us previously or has not been in the history books and even in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Manuel, thank you so much again for joining us, and so interesting, and congratulations on the work, because I know you did a lot of research.
Thank you. Thank you to all your radio listeners. And I hope that people go to MeAmerica2020.com to get more information. Thank you so much.
All right, we move from that conversation. It's interesting. I spent a lot of time in New Mexico. I love that area, and it's rich with all kinds of different people. And Albuquerque, which is where one of the places I started my career at a television station called KTSM, and Santa Fe and Taos and all those surrounding places like it. It's a good thing to put on your, I think it's a good thing to put on your bucket list if you haven't been there. The history, the culture, the things that New Mexico has to offer are pretty exciting. But one place that you won't be traveling to, or maybe you should be careful if you travel there anyway, is the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning on Monday, they issued these warnings. Travel to Greece, forget about it. My beloved Ireland, Iran, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and some other destinations, they're calling them level 4, avoid travel. Some other places include Martinique, Malta, Isle of Man. Libya is on that list, too. But, of course, this is because of the rising number of COVID-19 cases. So that's why they hit that list. And yet that list keeps changing. I mean, this is this fluid nature of where we are and what's happened to our lives in the past, you know, almost feels like longer than that, but almost 2 years. I mean, once we cross over the tail end of 2021, believe it or not, here we are in August, then we get to the January, February, and the discussions on when were the first cases uncovered in the United States, and, you know, where were we, and what have we, you know, what's happened, where are we with the vaccination, where are we when it comes to what's happening in this country with the Delta variant. And I think there's pressure certainly on U.S. employers, on those that are unvaccinated and trying to figure out what to do. And some companies are losing patience with unvaccinated workers. So most employers relied on information kind of campaigns. Remember, there was all kinds of swag and bonuses. In Washington, you could get, for a jab, you could get a joint. People were parts of lotteries and won $1 million because they got vaccinated. People won big-time sports tickets, and there's all kinds of other incentives to encourage people to get the COVID-19 shot. Now a growing number of companies are trying to figure out what to do for employees who refuse, from outright mandates to requiring the unvaccinated to undergo regular testing. I think it's going to be the regular testing more than anything, because they're afraid to cross over onto that other line. E. Douglas Brown coming up next.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Biden administration will keep a policy in place to turn away illegal migrants at the border due to the COVID pandemic. The extension of the Trump-era policy, known as Title 42, was announced by the Centers for Disease Control Monday, saying in a statement that the introduction of non-citizens, regardless of their country of origin, migrating through Canada and Mexico into the U.S. creates a serious danger of the introduction of COVID-19 into the United States. And Russia says that the U.S. has asked 24 Russian diplomats to leave the country by September. The Russian ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Anatov, told National Interest magazine that the diplomats were asked to leave when their visas expire in early September, accusing the Biden administration of retaliating after Russia temporarily expelled American diplomats from Moscow in April. The State Department has denied that, with spokesperson Ned Price saying that it was normal to require Russians to reapply to extend their visas. This is USA Radio News. With the rise of COVID infections due to the Delta variant, many businesses are rethinking their plans to return their workforces to the office. Last week, Google and Facebook became the first large Silicon Valley firms to require their employees to get vaccinated before coming back to the office. The Walt Disney Corporation has also said that all employees in the U.S. who are working on-site will have to get their shots. Dr. Celine Gounders says that vaccination remains the easiest way to control the pandemic in the workplace. The NYU epidemiologist tells CNBC that with enough vaccination, we could turn COVID into a much milder illness, like the flu.
This really comes down to whether your workforce is vaccinated. Vaccination is the way out of this pandemic. Some people have compared COVID to the flu. That is not a correct comparison, but we could turn COVID into something much more mild, like the flu, through vaccination. So if you're able to get your workforce vaccinated, I think it's a completely different calculation than if you're not.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay, whale, whale, whale! Oh, no, whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
To ask, do you have an appreciation of self? Do you ask yourself the question? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is my purpose? There are a lot of interesting questions that are answered in this book, Self-Knowledge and Spiritual Yearning. E. Douglas Brown joins us. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your book. Thank you.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to do so.
So what is it that we don't have an appreciation of self? Why is that?
One of the major reasons we do not have an appreciation of self is because we haven't been taught the language and the reality of what self is, what we really are. Going back to what you were mentioning a moment ago, what is the purpose of self? My knowledge of myself or my self-consciousness, what is it for? Is it simply to abide in my physical body, to live, you know, become a unique person? Or is there some more to this? Are there some more pages and chapters to self-consciousness and self-awareness? And it clearly is. And psychology has been, we have been fundamentally told it is, or described, and what have you. Our understanding of psychology is half-baked, so to speak. Our concept of psychology begins and ends with self-awareness, namely the ego self, the self that we become aware of as we grow from infancy to toddlerhood and what have you. But this is not in fact, the whole of the self. The self, what we call the self, let's use the phrase my mind, my brain, my hand. Well, who is the MY we're talking about here? What is this MY? And that MY is the soul. That MY is the spirit or the self. So self-knowledge is integral to psychological health and well-being. And this is what I discuss at length in my book, Self-Knowledge and Spiritual Yearning, why it is important and exactly what it is.
Yeah, so tell us what it is. What exactly is this? And you go deep in your book, and obviously people can get your book on Amazon, Self-Knowledge and Spiritual Yearning, the Role of Spirituality in Psychological Health. But what is it?
The self, you see, is a link. This is an innate, inborn link that we have with the Creator. Self-awareness and self-knowledge, which we all have, we all are aware of, this self-knowledge is what we cultivate during the course of our life. This is a link with the divine. This is a link with spirituality. You see, once we cross the threshold of the biophysical, the biological, we're in the world of spirituality. For example, were you to do a lobotomy on my brain, you know, you cut through my skull, that 3.5 pounds of silly putty between my two ears, right?
Uh-huh.
That's my brain, but that's not myself. That's not my mind. You see, the self, or my awareness of myself, including my mind, is greater than the body. It is greater than my biological person. And the entity that brought me into existence, that entity that created my body, you know, the physical vessel that I am, obviously I'm in, that's part of my personhood, that same entity provided me with a divine paradigm for self-development, a divine paradigm for self-development. And this is the area of psychology, so to speak. This is the area of self-development and self-knowledge that we have some significant gaps in terms of our understanding of what psychology is and what psychological health is. Spirituality is not synonymous with quote-unquote popular religion.
Mm.
Spirituality is, in effect, a very character of the human nature. The human nature, because we are self-aware and we're self-conscious and we have free will, these all constitute metaphysical elements of our being. This is what constitutes our spirituality. And it's very important that we proceed, if we choose to do so, to develop this self-knowledge in a way that's healthy, in a way that's consistent with balance, healthy development, and peace of mind and healing.
And what do you think is happening today with people? I think that is so lost for so many people.
I think that what has occurred, and I elaborate on this in my book, the concept of spirituality or the soul or the self has been diluted tremendously. Self-consciousness has essentially been relegated to a synthesis of neural electrical impulses, sensations, if you will. All of this culminates in consciousness. This simply is a matter of physical consciousness. When I look at myself in the mirror, I'm looking at my body, my physical characteristics, and what have you. That's my physical outer person, outer self. Carl Jung, you may be familiar with Dr. Carl Jung. The late, he was a neo-Freudian. He was one of the students of Freud. I remember one of his, a quote of Jung that I thought was very powerful. Jung said that the world will ask you who you are. The world will ask you who you are. And if you don't know, the world will tell you. See? Yes. The world will ask you who you are, and if you don't know who you are, the world will tell you who you are. In other words, you will be given an idea of who you are as a person, a self, an individual, but that emanates from the world. That emanates from, you know, our life, everyday life, and what we're taught in schools, our cultures, our communities, you know, the template of knowledge, traditions, and beliefs that we get from society and what have you. But this is inadequate. Many people are unaware of the fact that modern science, that contemporary science has completely debunked, for example, the idea that human beings are the products of evolution, from ape whites, from humanoids. This has been completely debunked by science, by modern science. Human beings did not emanate as a process. We are not the products of an interspecies evolutionary process. Now, one might ask, what has this got to do with self-development? Well, let's look at that for a moment. Dr. William Wundt, he's considered the father of psychology, the father of what is called, what we have known as laboratory psychology. William Wundt was a Marxist, and because of his personal beliefs and his orientation and ideology, he did not believe in a supreme being. He did not believe in a God, or he did not believe in spirituality. And he wanted to develop a science of psychology that was primarily rooted in the laboratory. And so Wundt dismissed all of the jewels of knowledge, if you will, and information that had been gathered centuries prior to that time about the self, about the personality, about what it means to have self-knowledge that could not be examined, so to speak, in a laboratory, that was not amenable to direct sensory verification, these kinds of things. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he developed a concept of psychology. His idea of psychology was essentially the study of behavior. Wundt believed that human beings were no more than animals. You simply could condition a human being, you know, reinforcements, punishments, etc. You could shape and condition the human being in terms of behavior. You could, through retention and repetition, you could teach people, if you will, to have certain beliefs and philosophies, and they will identify with these beliefs and philosophies. And if you define them as part of the self, they will eventually accept this. So what we're saying is that the psyche in psychology was ignored. The word psyche means self.
Yeah.
It means soul. It means mind. And what has happened in our time, and actually before our time, is that the self as the spirit, as the soul, this inner me, this me that ponders, that wonders, that asks, where did I come from? Why do I exist? What is the purpose of my life? That self, you see, that authentic self that leads to self-knowledge has been ignored. And this is one of the reasons why Carl Jung even said, Jung said, if people lose the idea of God or the idea of a higher being, of a creator, the incidence of psychological disorders and maladies will increase. They will spiral. Because human beings, so to speak, they lose that spiritual umbilical cord or that link that ties them to the greater universe and gives them a sense of purpose.
Yeah. Wow, and your book, it's a perfect place to end this, The Umbilical Cord. You unravel so much of that. The book is so interesting. Self-Knowledge and Spiritual Yearning. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Dr. Brown, thank you so much.
Yes.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
So the book is called Metamorphosis of a Young Maiden, and think about this. Dr. William Patrick Leadham is with us. He's written this book. And think about love letters. I was thinking about this the other day. How many people get love letters? How many people send love letters? How many people have those deeper conversations? This book centers around this relationship and the idea of these love letters from two people from years and years, decades ago, more than four decades ago. And it really, I think, makes you think about going all in. That's what I decided the other day. It makes you think about going all in a relationship. Dr. Leadham, thanks so much for coming on.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to speak with you.
So what made you decide, you know what, I'm going to put this in a book. I'm going to write about this in a book. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I have four thoughts on that. One, I was motivated to put our love letters into a book commencing in 2017. One, because my romantic involvement with Shelley was the greatest love affair in my whole life before or since. Number two, because the narrative and the stories through the letters was powerful, because many of the letters were quite literary and poetic and together composed a fabulous story. Three, because the more I reread the letters, the more I wanted to honor what Shelley and I created, the deep feelings and thoughts that were generated as we reached out to each other the exposure of our vulnerabilities, which we shared with each other as we built our relationship. And four, pragmatically, because I was retired and had the time to devote to the project.
I like that. You're a pragmatic man, I can tell. It's like, hey, I had the time, Kate. Come on, this is obvious. So, you know what? I can honestly say I don't have that in my life. I had wonderful experiences in you know, being young and meeting great guys, etc., but not love letters. And it's still that lost art of love letters. So, did you read them over and over again?
Yes. Well, yes, and part of it was when her husband died in May of 2013, I asked for her current address. I communicated with her, sent her a condolence and a check for $100, and then I got a beautiful letter back from her telling me how devastated she was. It wasn't supposed to happen this way, and she signed it Love, Shelley. And I thought, well, we both do have love for each other. And so I wrote her a second letter, and I said, Shelley, I really care about you, and I care what happens to you. And I thought, I shouldn't say anything more. Her husband just died. So I'm thinking that we might get back together, that somebody has to take care of her. And 10 minutes before my class in September, I got an email that she died of a heart attack.
Oh,
so that really threw me. I actually went to grief counseling. So then I got the letters out and started rereading them. I thought, oh, boy, I need to do something with them.
And that also helped you do that. You know what's beautiful about that story for everybody listening? That it wasn't too late for you to reach out because you reached out to her. And that was what was key. You made that connection. So what if you hadn't done that, which would be normal, like, hey, condolences. You reached out. So there was that connection that you made, which is wonderful. And so everybody knows with this story, you did end up connecting. You did end up getting together, but then it didn't last very long because she was super young. And you were young. Both of you were young, right?
Well, she was 19 and I was 29.
Yeah. And so that just didn't work at the time, right?
Right, correct. Now, we did reconnect in 18 years later because I was doing my doctorate at the University of Cincinnati, and I was tasked with meeting the people who had a bachelor's degree, but it wasn't in teaching, and I was to advise them how many more courses would they need to take to be a teacher. So she came in to see me, and it's the first time I've seen her in 18 years. It was very pleasant, and I told her what I told almost everybody, 2 more years of courses. Well, she and her husband had an option on a church camp conference center in North Carolina, so she and her husband chose that option rather than her becoming a teacher.
Wow, interesting.
But it was a conference center where I also went, so we reconnected and had a beautiful friendship for, I don't know, 12, 14 years. I did not see her the last 8 years of her life, so her sister-in-law, who lives a mile from me, informed me that her heart really went bad. She was on a heart transplant list, and then for some reason they took her off, and then she died.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this book is so powerful. I think it's that collection of love letters and the example of what being vulnerable and being and taking that risk with a partner and saying what you really, really feel and what you think, and then really encouraging the other person. And that part is just tremendous to me. What do you hope people take away from reading Metamorphosis of a Young Maiden, which you can get on Amazon,
well,
by the way?
I have 3 thoughts on that. I believe our book portrays a version of love between a man and a woman that letter by letter, as we each revealed more of our inner feelings and thoughts, and we found the safety of acceptance from our partner, we were then encouraged to go deeper and reveal more and more of ourselves. Secondly, certainly in the process of writing, one is encouraged to carefully choose words and phrases that one just speaking together does not usually bring forth. I know for myself, I thought deeply about the struggle Shelley was experiencing, and sharing with me caused me, as a 10-year older person, more experienced man who had already been married and divorced, to reflect on what I could communicate to Shelley, that I accepted her just as she was. Our third thought is also our story might, quote, light the way to deeper love and connections, unquote, even between married couples. I did write a paragraph in the book where I reflected that our lengthy and intense letters brought out so many more thoughts and feelings, those kinds that help partners to really get to know the other in ways that I doubt come up when couples just see each other and talk.
Yeah, there you go. That every day that you keep getting on the hamster wheel and going round and round. Dr. William, that's so true, right? And that's get out of that. That's really what the book is saying. Dr. William Patrick Leadham, the book is called Metamorphosis of a Young Maiden. Boy, I think a lot of people could have their eyes open. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Wow, so powerful in, and I kept saying that over and over again. I mean, just imagine, and this book centers around with these love letters from 1969 through 1970, like December of 69 through June 1970. So it's just that short period, but it shows, and that's why the title is so good. It shows how she started to trust him, and then what that was like, and it's just a great example of what. Where so many of us, I think, and he said it, so many of us are missing in relationships because it is that every day, let's say you're already in it, it's that every day where you keep going through over and over the same thing, the circle, the circle, the circle, and there is something about love letters, and I was looking up even some of the best love letters ever written, and he would know too if when looking at famous people, let's say, like people talk about Napoleon to Josephine, that he was this, you know, the small ruler who definitely had a softer side because he was vulnerable, which is what he talks about in his book. So you think of some of the nasty things about Napoleon, but boy, when it came to his wife and when it came to what he was writing to her, there's even a line where he says, since I left you, I've been constantly depressed. My happiness is to be near you. Incessantly I live over in my memory your caresses, your tears, your affectionateness, etc. So interesting. Another one is Frida Kahlo to Diego Rivera, and they went back and forth, and they had such a tumultuous relationship anyway. They were both artists, and the fact is that they went back and forth, and in a 27-year span of that relationship, they shared so much in these love letters. And I think with Dr. Leadham bringing it back to Metamorphosis of a Young Maiden, that's exactly what they did. And he said about the 10-year gap and the differences in them, but how they had this strong letter writing that really, really connected them, the love letters. Just so interesting. And it's something to think about for men and for women out there. All right, thanks so much for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. Maybe you'll write a letter. Who knows? Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.